Welcome back to our second hour segment of Cellular Wisdom on Sunday, January. June 6th. No, oh my gosh, where's my brain? June 7th, 2020. And we were going to do some additional sharing, Linda?
Yes, that would be lovely. And if I may just say something before you do, Deborah, what I would love to do as we're sitting here, just imagine you're like, be here with us and be in the forest. And imagine in the forest, call in all of us who would like to be around you and just make yourself really comfortable and let us just be there and support you and bring some animals around you. Call in some wonderful animals to be with you all the time. Just know that they are there for you, your spirit animals. So, Eleanor, Sandy, who do we see?
Yes, I see Lisa Leicht again. Are you wanting to talk? Oh, no, that was a boo-boo. Is that what you're saying? Oh, okay. I still loved your drawing. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Mm. I can see you're doing this, but no sound, but I think that meant maybe she hit it by accident.
Right.
Okay. Is there somebody else that would like to share? Because this is so beautiful. I'm looking through.
And also, like, that was, it's so important to see that the idea of this was to see where are the areas where there's not as much light, where that's gray. That was significant. And to have that attention brought to you with the licking of the giraffe, just lovely. And know for all of you who are new, you'll be seeing some of the things that we can do with the touches in those areas. That's why we're bringing them forward.
Now,
participants raised their hand. Do you see
Sarah?
That?
Sarah raised her hand, but I can't now find her. So, Sarah, if you can unmute yourself.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, it was interesting. At first, I couldn't really see what areas were darker, but I was feeling certain areas as just kind of more dense or less dense. And there was a point where I don't know what made the change, but much later on, all of a sudden, I just felt like I was seeing light pulsating through my body, going all the way like down through my legs, just this real visual thing. It was really quite amazing and unexpected. So that was fantastic. And then something really sad happened yesterday. One of the shelter cats that I worked with for a long time, I found out that she had passed away. And so she came in along with some other cats to keep me company during that. And so, you know, that made me sad, but at the same time, I was grateful to have her nearby. And I also wanted to say that by the end, I felt so much more peaceful and was so grateful to feel that peace, because I'm in New York City, for those who don't know, and New York is really a hard place to be right now. It's really, really like kind of being in a war zone or something. Almost all the building, you know, almost all the stores and everything is boarded up. It's just very, very strange and creepy and weird. So I'm glad for those moments of just really peace and calm inside. So
beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Sarah, could you put your last name on there, please, so we can see?
Oh, yeah.
Because we can't
Hauser.
See you, actually. I thought you were Sarah Hauser, but I can't see you. You're in the dark.
Yeah.
So welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that, but I'll try and figure it out for next time. But.
Okay.
Ooh, I think I can do it. Hauser, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Look at Zoom doing some new things. Boom.
Mm-hmm. Glad.
Thank you. So we've got, you have Barb Grout, raise your hand.
Hi, Barb.
Hi. What was surprising was three of my friends' cats joined the circle, and I've been communicating with them, but I was surprising that they would join my inner circle. And then a cat that I used to own named Tiki joined, and he said, "You have to use me more." And that was a really strong, wonderful message. And then a dolphin came in, and my first thought was, well, we're in the forest. You're going to suffocate. There's no water here. And the dolphin said, it's all imaginary. It's all in our imagination anyway. Water's not necessary. So it was just a very beautiful experience and very peaceful feeling. So thank you. Thank you for this journey. It's very, very deep and meaningful.
Thank you, Barb, for sharing that. And I have to share an experience with you. When you say the dolphin was there and there's no water, in 1984, I attended a 10-day a conference at the Ojai Foundation. It was the Peaceful Cultures Conference, and there were people from all over the world, scientists, spiritual leaders, various people at the institute. And there was a man from the Upper Volta, an African medicine man who was a spiritual teacher named Eli Haim, E-L-I, capital H-E-I-M. And actually one of his followers just wrote to me last year after all those years asking me what I remembered about him, because he had passed away in the meantime, and his followers were gathering information. And what he said one day when we were all gathered together at a sunset meditation, he said, "And do you see the dolphins coming up over the ocean? They come up out of the ocean at night and they come out of the sky." And I just thought of that dolphin experience. You're the second one, and there may have been others who saw dolphins right there with us. And the dolphin brings a message of joy. Thank you. Other sharing. And Barb, could you actually, what I would ask you, what are the areas that you got from that experience where you would like to bring T-Touch? What are the areas where you would like to support the enhanced function in our entire body? That's the point of this, partially.
Well, it's still the stomach abdomen area where I had the surgery, and they still don't want me touching them. So I've spent time every day loving them, and I got the message that's you're still not feeling the love. So then I changed it to, I love the body that carries my soul. And that feels more real to me, that I can say that. But I can't say yet that I love that part of me. It's going to take some work, I think.
Thank you for sharing that. For those of you who were not there on Tuesday, Barb worked with the question was, how can we with T-Touch work with scars? And so I asked her if she had a scar, and she did have a big scar, two part from a surgery, and the two parts of the body were just like feeling totally separate. So I simply asked, so if your cells had something to tell you, what would they say? And it was so beautiful, Barb, you could just see you just maybe took 10 seconds and then that they wanted you to love them, right? And so what I would recommend, and this is like what you just said was so perfect, because Debbie, you haven't been with us some of the time in the last, Debbie Potts, in the last sessions, because what we're looking at is seeing our boundaries. and really conscious with the body blessing, with the beautiful work just down one side that Sandy Rakowitz and Robin Bernhardt did with that whole 1 year pilot program of people with brain injuries with no hope for help or for improvement, just with outlining. And so the seeing this body today, what I want on this ninth course today, ninth month, is to have you experience this vessel that contains these 100 trillion cells. And Barb, you got it. I mean, that is, when you see it as a vessel for our soul, changes things. Now, we are the caretakers of these cells. I mean, we say that. I mean, they have this amazing, I mean, are they being the cells, have this phenomenal intelligence that that means that they function as we do. I mean, how come, I ask this every time, how come our blood flows, you know, our lymph works, we can speak, our lungs work. We're miracles, we're walking miracles. And when we get that, something different happens when you see this body as a vessel. And I see it as this beautiful vessel. I think in one of the journeys, I shared that it's like this tall, you see Chinese have them, these beautiful tall, like a tall vase that I would fit into. And those are my boundaries. And we've talked about, you know, different ways that we can protect those boundaries with so much fear all around us and the fear inside that is part of our cellular makeup. And so this is about healing all of that. And it's, when I say healing, it's recognizing the amazing, I mean, the just miraculous potential of our body to take care and heal itself. And the T-touches, the circular T-touches, are a link to that cellular brilliance, intelligence, wisdom. So you got it. Yep. You can see it. And so all these things that happen to us in this lifetime is part of the journeying and our opportunity for taking that place of gratitude and practicing Ho'oponopono. Forgive what happened. That's your great opportunity of forgiveness. And very exciting. So we have Gary, do I see your hand up?
Well, actually, I already unmuted Saskia a few minutes ago.
Okay. And after that, we've got, yes. And Saskia, could you give, like, everybody give their full name so when you get those recordings, we know who you are.
Yeah. Well, my full name is there, I think, but
Saskia Block.
Saskia, yes. Block, yes, it's, yes. Dutch. when I was looking in the mirror, I found that my left leg has less light, and that's from something that's old. In 2010, my left side of my body didn't work as it should. So, and I have been through some, well, heavy months taking care of my mother. And now this is coming up again, that leg is not working that good and goes to sleep when I ride my bicycle or do stuff, walk around, then it goes to sleep. So I could see that in the mirror. And then, of course, I did the touches and it helped a bit, but then you were talking about the ants, and I was sitting with my back against the tree, and it was more the connection with the trees now for me than with animals. But then all of a sudden these ants came up and they crawled up on my left leg, and it was kind of ticklish, and it made me laugh a bit, like, okay, the strange ticklish feeling. And it made it also lighter for me, because I'm always a bit heavy when I feel that leg. It's not working again, so it makes me feel a bit grumpy to my leg. And now all these ants were ticklish on my leg, and it felt more light, and it felt more like, yeah, different feeling for me. So it's I could connect more with the leg in a lighter way. So that was really special for me.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And does that inspire you to do some like special touches, really talking to that area?
Yeah, I did some tarantula touches now on my leg also, because that it was the feeling it gave me a bit. So, and I feel that I have to work more lighter on that leg than I'm doing, and let go of the feeling that I want something to happen when I do the touches. Just move the skin and just see, well, let the work do its work itself.
And Saskia, one thing you might add to that I have certainly added to my awareness. I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and yet when I connect consciously with that wonder of that amazing source energy that is a connection to the universe. And I want to read this again. This is, when we open ourselves to source energy, we connect to cellular wisdom, that intelligence in every cell. And for source energy is our link to the creative energies of the universe. And I want you to think about all of you. This concept, I love this in this little book I've mentioned a number of times, Uncommon Prayer by Ruth L. Miller. And thank heaven now you can get it on Amazon just recently. And this concept that talking about everything being in all knowledge is everything, is in the quantum field. And that Deepak Chopra calls this the field of infinite possibility. And that's what I'm saying to you, Saskia, when we recognize that when we achieve the stillness, he says, of the prayer state, which we also achieve when we make a circle and a pause, holding that stillness. But Saskia, just feel, wow, I mean, what is the miracle that makes my body work? Connect with that miracle, that source energy. It's a miracle. And so you just make the connection, the T-touch connection, as a link to that source energy. And when we do, that's our link to the creative energies of the universe. This is on page 14 of Joan King's book, The Science. It's science. And it's like the weaving of the science and spirituality. That's what we're about. And something different, Saskia, happens for me when I've been doing this stuff for years, and in the pause now, that pause, that's when we also connect. And I think you were on the call that we had in the community talking about all of you in the pause. When you make a circle and a quarter in a pause, that activates the still point in cranial sacral therapy. And that is the ideal healing potential of the body. Mm-hmm. So it's another level, Saskia, and that's why I'm so excited that you're here. And some of you, many of you from our companion animal trainings, we make success all the time with detach. But this is different. Different connection.
Mm-hmm. But there are moments that I feel that, but especially with this leg, it's sometimes hard. And it, on other parts of my body, I can relate to that very good. But this leg is, I have to be more kinder to it, I guess.
But that's the point. Be kind. But there's one other thing. Some of you have been with us through all of these. It's the Ho'oponopono. Mm. It's the forgiving. Ho'oponopono. And it's a practice. That's the beauty. This is a Hawaiian prayer of forgiveness for our body. And it's, you say it over and over. Don't even have to mean it in the beginning. You just say it. I'm sorry, whatever. Sorry it doesn't work. Sorry for whatever. Doesn't matter. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. It's done. I love you. And you say thank you because, you give it over. And for those of you who love to learn to learn from reading, the little book, I didn't pull that one up. I love it. It's a little book called
Uncommon Prayer.
No, it's Secrets of the Lost Mode of Prayer by Greg Braden. Greg Braden, sorry. So it's just that it is that forgiveness. All of you, all of us, when you see areas where we're sad, like what we blame ourselves for being sad. All have reasons for being sad. And how do you transmute that? How can we look at that sad, say thank you, and now, how can I choose? It's like choosing this here, my glass here. No, this is this a third empty or two-thirds? No, yes, or two-thirds, oh no, is this a third full or two-thirds empty? Which do we want to see? And it's simply, that's a practice. It's like that prayer ritual of Ho'oponopono, the Hawaiian prayer of forgiveness of ourselves. And Barb, that's one for you. It's for all of us. It doesn't cost us anything to do it. And something happens if you just, because so many millions and millions of people have done this, and it is amazing. And I live right here in the middle of this. I'm sitting, I wish you could see where I am. I'm looking up the mountain this way, just covered with palm trees and forests. Over this way, forests, we're on the second floor, and back behind me is the ocean. We're up on the second floor, so I'm surrounded by trees. And just imagine you're back in the forest, forgiveness. We just maybe take one more now, because then I want to bring Eleanor on with some amazing gift that she's got.
So we haven't had volunteer.
Sorry, if could we just hold that a second, Amy? And if you don't mind, because I really would like to hear from Gary and Sandy, because they've been with us every time for, you know, everything I do for 5 years, and they weren't there last week, and I was concerned, and I wasn't able to call you. Did you have your hand up, Gary, I thought? Yes. Can you just say your name for the recording?
I'm asking you to unmute. That means you need to unmute, I think. You'll see? There.
Okay. First of all, reason why you didn't hear from us, we lost our internet connection. So we just got it back. So that's part of the reason why you didn't hear or see from us. The other thing is, during a meditation, we live in the northeastern part of Wisconsin, the North Woods. So we have the nature and wildlife every day. But anyways, when we took our walk in the woods and had all the critters around us and felt the people and energy, beans, it's the weekend up here, it was ruined by gunshots. So, but anyways, to block that out, to come back, but amongst us was the bears, we have all the different kinds of woodpeckers and birds, and Sandy does a lot of the wildlife photography, so we can always put some up on Facebook if people are interested in them.
Beautiful.
And so coming back, as far as suggestions for Barb or anybody else, I experiment a lot with the T-Touch. And the thing that I found, if you have a scar that you can don't feel comfortable touching, you can go off body and still do the work close to it. And that way you're still being effective. If you don't feel comfortable touching it, right on it, you can go above it or below it or from behind. Another thing I've been experimenting with is sitting on a gym ball and doing a circle and a quarter as you're doing the breath work. You breathe in to the circle and out. Do that 10 times both ways. And it's amazing how fast your body will heal. So those are a few things I've been experimenting with.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Gary. Yeah, and Barbara, that's what she was doing. We started working off the body at the direction of the cells. You know, that's far off the body. It was more than 12 inches, I think, when Barb started, which what the cells wanted. So thank you. It's always important to hear it again, to hear the reminder. Yeah, don't have to touch it. So I would like to know, we'll hold the other comments now. Thank you very much. And I want to bring Eleanor on, because Eleanor is, she's, you know, we've some of you will not know her, the new ones. We've been working together. When did you start, just to hear it from your own words, Eleanor?
Just 1979.
Yes, because she was into horses and came to these 7-day, I used to do 7-week trainings together with horses in California. That was another era, wasn't it? And so all these years we've continued this passion, and you want to just tell just briefly how Moshe got you to me? And
yeah, wow. So it was the first year of my Feldenkrais training program, and we're lying down, and Moshe Feldenkrais is leading this training in Amherst, Massachusetts, and he made a statement that was the thing that sent me, is that he said, everybody deserves to be touched and moved this way, even if they can't do it for themselves. And there were two things that happened in my mind at that moment, which
and
was-
And you meant in the Feldenkrais way, with the functional
in the
integration.
Feldenkrais way.
And,
yes, right. In our Feldenkrais yes. training.
Right.
And two things happened for me in that moment, which was, I knew at that moment that my desire is to work with people who cannot reach and touch themselves, people that have brain injury, people that are in the hospitals, and to be able to help teach them and teach their loved ones how to work with them. And the other one was, oh my God, every animal in every zoo in every part of the world deserves to be touched and moved in this way. And I ran up to the front during the break and I went, Moshe, Moshe, oh my God, every animal in the zoos deserve to have this kind of work done with them. That's the thing. And he says, oh, Eleanor, took me by the hand. We whooshed, whooshed, whooshed across the huge gymnasium floor. And he says, I'm going to introduce you to your next teacher, and you two will become good friends forevermore. And she will be your teacher and your friend. And we went outside into the open grassy area, and he says, where is Linda? Where is Linda? And he introduced the two of us together, and he said, Eleanor, this is Linda. Linda, Linda, this is Eleanor. And Eleanor, Linda is going to be your teacher, but after that, you will become friends forever. And that was the beginning. Immediately, I signed up to study with Linda, and at that was in Roy, Washington. So it was, I went home, I finished a piece of my studies in college and went up for 7 weeks in Roy, Washington. And then the next 2 years was 7 weeks every fall on the ranch in Nacimiento. And then of course it was forevermore ever since. So, sheesh. Linda, and I'm always learning from you, right? And I love the brainstorming and studying all parts of the brain and the way we deal in our nervous systems and going, oh my God, that's what Linda's been saying.
It's just amazing for all of you. I wish that you could be a mouse in our pockets when Eleanor and Sandy and I do the brain, we call it the brain blossoming, not brainstorming, brain blossoming for this. So Eleanor is always looking at the science side. And so this time she has something very profound to do with our, I should have brought my mask. it's downstairs, having to do with our, what we're dealing with now, in for the for now and for the next time. So, Ms. Eleanor.
Thank you. So this is a really important deal to understand what's happening with us in this time when we are going out in public and wearing these masks, because the masks are mostly sitting up above the cheekbones and then covering the face below the jaw. And according to Dr. Stephen Porges' polyvagal theory, it is not a theory anymore. It's a proven fact, but so it's past theory. It's his polyvagal work, looking at the vagus nervous system. And the vagus nerve, I will actually share with you a very lovely picture of what this looks like. Can you see this? So this is absolutely amazing. I am beyond always excited that the vagus nerve, it's not a nerve, it's nerves as in plural, and it's a system, and it connects systems with systems. So everything becomes so interconnected because this amazing vagus nerve system. And it starts in the base of the brain in a couple of areas, and it branches down and it wraps around the carotid artery, especially on the left side. It goes along the throat in swallowing. It goes around the heart and deeply innervated into the lungs and beautifully innervated into the diaphragm. Think of our breathing, and then it goes to almost all of our digestive organs and the small intestines, and then the ascending and transverse colon, and then it changes as it comes down to the descending colon. And so it's pretty much all the way there, all the way to the bottom of our pelvis. Some of it is myelinated with that waxy sheathing communication, fatty sheathing, which is beautiful. And others of it is not, because there's an older part of the system and a more modern, newer part of the system. The older system tends to be more of the reptilian era, and the modern system is in the mammalian era, the moment we became the first little mouse on this earth. And so it is involved, this is involved in our ability to connect with each other. It is involved in our health and our well-being. It is involved in our heart rate variability, the ability for our heart rate to speed up and slow down within nanomoments. It's like music in the heart. When the heart goes faster and slower in moment to moment, that is a measurement of vagal tone. And vagal tone is a measurement of our health, our immune system, and our ability to connect, and our ability to make eye contact, and our ability to make short-term memory, and our abilities to take short-term memory and turn them into long-term memories. Now, that being said, when we wear masks, we are covering all of the facial expressions. Dr. Stephen Porges, who is one of the most brilliant in this understanding of our psychological aspect of the vagus nerve, says that we read faces. So, and it's, we read the expression of the faces, especially around the cheekbones. So if you can look and you can hit it where it's speaker view and you can see my face and you can see the softness in my face. You see it in my cheekbones and you see it in the softness of my eyes. But when it's covered, we can see the eyes, but we're still looking for the expressions on the face. And when we can't read the face, our vagus system goes from the modern era back to the old reptilian era, trying to figure out, is that friend or foe? Because it's trying to read the face. If we can't read the face, we're not sure how close we want to let that person near us. We scan the horizon on faces. And so what happens is if we end up not being able to read faces, our system will go into a higher heart rate because our vagal tone goes down. The ability to read faces. So our vagal tone goes down. That makes our heart rate go higher. Blood pressure can go higher. And we lose confidence and trust. It can be affected by that. There's a whole lot that goes with that. But here's the exciting thing I play with, because wherever I go, the world is an experiment, and often it's multi-experiments. So I go into the market. Now, one thing we know, another way that we get vagal tone is by prosodic voice. Prosodic voice is when we see little kittens and we go, look at the little kittens, or a baby. Women immediately go into the high pitch. Look at little baby. Look at that little face. Look at that face. Look at that face. We do those. We don't go, hey, ya kid, how you doing? You're a one-day-old baby. Pretty good. We don't do that. It's not even in our nature. Our nature is, and it's so funny to hear men go, woo, 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 woo. They got this kind of woo, 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 woo kind of voice. Prosodic voice is the ability for rhythm and tone and inflection in the higher ranges. And what happens is the baby that hears that voice, those voices, reads the face, and they start to tonify their vagus system. So while we go into the market and we can't exactly see people's faces because they're covered in the most important part. And what happens when we don't have that ability? Our pupils become smaller. And I'm going to tell you how we're going to open those pupils. The pupils become smaller and we go in more into that old part and we lose the ability instantly to scan the horizon. That's part of low vagal tone. And so people just look in front of them. And it's part of people driving the car and going through red lights. There's a whole lot more of that going on right now. Or people pushing their carts accidentally into other, getting more worked up. And here's the way we can deal with it. So everyone in the market is covered with their face, but we can have prosodic voice. We can have prosodic voice. So we're in the market and we say, hi, it's a good day. It's a beautiful day. Simple as that. Just something that goes like this, you'll immediately see their eye expressions change and they become softer. You've helped them find their vagal tone for a moment. They can see peripheral vision. It slows their heart rate down. It brings their blood pressure more to a stable place. So some people, they have it too low. Many people, they have it too high. It stabilizes it. It stabilizes heart rate. This is one way you can go into public and use your voice to help create prosodic voice for all the people that are completely covered. Because believe me, when they can't see people's faces, they can't get the vagal tone very easily within themselves. This is your gift wherever you go, that you can help them get more vagal tone, increase their health, increase their ability to connect with other people in a time that they need to wear the mask. Does that make sense? Oh, yes. Oh, okay. I'm seeing this in the chat. Good. beautiful, beautiful work. Now, another thing that we can do for each other and for ourselves is when we go out into the world and the mask is happening, it can be stressful. And so what happens is people get tighter around the eyes. So this is what we can do if you're doing this for yourself, if you're teaching online classes, if you've got friends that you're meeting with and you're talking on the phone, that you can help them do this for themselves, is that we can just easily and gently use these Tellington tea touches, which I love. I love, I love. You can softly nestle your jaw a little bit into your hand, but don't lean the jaw into the hand. Do you see what I'm saying? If you drop all the weight into the hand, you're going to get a double feedback, which is going to create a pressure and tension system. So we just want to nestle it, just a nestle. And if you're sitting upright and not leaning into anything, you can just nestle your elbow into your hand and do this also. And the idea is, as Linda likes to say, to take the kink out of the hose, right? So you see how
this is your wrist,
right? So you see the kink right here. So it's that you can soften it, that it's softer.
And hold with your thumb. You make your connection with your thumb instead of the heel of your hand. And that just gets you, because we tried this before and you felt that when you had the heel in your hand, you could feel your back muscles tighten, right?
Yes.
That's what I can feel. So that's why I want to keep that as straight. But that's a small thing. What you're saying is really important.
Okay. So if you look, let's do this little experiment of doing the circle and a quarter touches in the musculature, these old ancient ring muscles that are right here around the eyes, because this is also about your health, your well-being, because it increases the vagal tone quality. So you just start, 6 o'clock is below, 12 o'clock is above, and 9 and 3 can be in either direction depending where your clock is facing. And you see the thumb is always connecting and all the fingers stay connected to the skin, and you glide the skin around a circle and a quarter. Now, I don't know about you, but as soon as I got to the quarter mark, I took a sigh. It was just an immediate sigh. That's changing my resting heart rate and then letting it glide down. And feel how easily and naturally the grin, the relief of letting that smile happen on your face. And it's just light. It's just light. It's light touch and a light smile. Really give this an easy touch. And notice especially along the top of the cheekbone to where the outside of the eyebrow line, it's even more different in the awe effect. Because these are the muscles that are your smile muscles that are involved in prosodic voice, joyfulness, and happy. So Sarah's asking it without my glasses at this moment, if I'm doing snail tail at the end. You can go ahead, but really, yeah, I do love snail's tail.
Well, remember, we generally tend to use it if we have something chronic going on. Oops, something chronic. So you do a 1 1/4 circles, and you stop at and up like either the 3 or the 9, and then pause, and then a little quarter back to the 6. That's the snail's tail.
And you'll notice, Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, doesn't matter.
Okay, you'll notice that there is a difference in the inner corner, but when it's the outside edge and the brow, that is the vagus system. Can you feel that there is a relief of your wholeness that happens when the focus is there? Because that's the part of the facial expressions.
And Eleanor, there, what you just did is really worthwhile to bring in. You did a coiled python, so up around that brow, and it's so nice, like circle and a quarter, and then a lift straight up from the 9 or the 3, like straight up, not over toward, like not toward the 12, but straight up, makes it perpendicular from the ground. Makes a big difference.
So thank you for saying that, because when you are giving that lift to the tissue straight up on your face, that is working with the polyvagal, all the systems of the vagus system to lift and release and connect. It's that. And it lightens the expression on your face. And so what I'm going to ask you to do for just a moment, because I already feel it, take your hand away and just notice what the difference on that right side compared to the left side is, and your hearing on that ear. And the musculature, the tissue within the ear. So just raise your finger if you feel that something even in there shifts. So we know that the vagus nerve is right in there, right? So when they're doing vagus nerve stimulators, they put it right in there. You got to that by touching it here. By giving that, and it is like Linda said, it's also the coiled python, the lift, because you lift the tissue at the end, it makes a shift in the whole vagus system. I can feel it all the way in my canal. Because when we have vagal tone, we can hear better. When we lose vagal tone, our hearing diminishes, which makes me wonder about age-related hearing loss with all mammals, not just us, but our dogs and our cats. Age-related hearing loss, because dogs and cats were not at Woodstock listening to loud music. They're in your home, right? So what is that? I'm feeling confident to say it's because vagal tone quality starts to go down. And how we use these circle and a quarter touches with that glide of that lift of the tissue up increases the vagal tone. Now, as an experiment, because everybody in my life is one, Malka, our 15-year-old standard poodle, she lost her hearing overnight a few years ago. And I went to the tissue at the base of her skull, that we talked about in the last class, the suboccipital muscles, the muscles right at the base of the skull, and very gently do the circle and a quarter touches. She got enough hearing back that she can hear what I'm asking her to do. Like, let's go out and go potty. Maybe not from another room, but she can hear when I'm in the kitchen preparing food now. She can respond to what we're saying. And I realized what had happened with her. It was, I didn't have a harness on her, and she was giving me extra jerks on the leash while I was walking a new dog with us. And so it was putting strain on those muscles. It lowered her vagal tone. She lost the hearing. So it took a lot of work. So these things of improving the hearing can happen for all of us. And our ability to see along our horizon. And when we do that, our well-being is so much better in these very simple tea touches. These amazing, brilliant Tellington tea touches. And I don't know about you, but even though I'm talking, I still feel a difference on the one side.
And somebody said they can see a difference. It's higher. It actually is higher on that side.
It's higher. So we can talk about what is involved in our connective tissue and our fascia, the flow of that happens underneath the skin, because that's involved in it too. So we can create this lift up by these simple touches. And I know, Randall, you're wanting to say something, so
that's a good idea to look at those questions. One other thing, Eleanor, I want to remind, because we got really focused right on the touches. When you're sitting up and doing tea touches around your face, if you make a connection with the thumb, so that stabilizes. And then what we do is we rest the elbow in the other hand, so the whole is stabilized. And I work to keep this wrist as straight as possible in riding. Sally Swift coined that the kink in the hose, because as soon as you get that kink, I can feel my back muscles. I just have to pop that or straighten it. And it's really, it's such a small thing. And yeah, that's what we're going for, is connection and awareness. So these little things are all really important, and it's so beautiful to see this. Also, there was a question, Eleanor, in there, what about ears? And this, what we did the last time or the second before, if you do the tea touch in the ears, and then a gentle, just a little, very gentle, like it's almost a stretch, just a little opening, and a nice deep breath, that can open your ears so that you can, I've had that personal experience when I had a eustachian tube infection. I could differentiate voices across the ear. And this is what has happened to a number of our seniors who are then younger than I am now. They could actually differentiate voices after not being able to. So can't hurt. That's the beauty.
Absolutely. And then, so Randall, I unmuted you.
There it is. Hi. I have so many names, I can't keep track of them. Some people call me Flo. Robin and Mandy know me by that. Other people know me as Randall. So here we go. It's still me. It's all me, actually. Anyway, I want to thank you a million times over. I love science, so that was fascinating, but I have been challenged with tinnitus for 1.5 years. Now, I know an emotional thing brought it on. I got checked out. I'm sorry, I was talking too loud, too excited. I got checked out and there was minor hearing loss in one side, but nothing big. I did acupuncture, craniosacral, a bunch of other stuff. I've gotten temporary relief, but not in a long time. This was immediate. As soon as I did it on one side and then I did the other, I mean, I'm going to be living with my hands up here all day. This was amazing. And the fact that I can do it for myself, and it's so simple. A dog also directed me to find a good Feldenkrais practitioner near me, because that will contribute. But I bet it's also related to the vagus nerve. Interestingly enough, I have been fascinated everywhere I go, I've heard the Vegas nerve thing pop up. But this, you have no idea. If there's other folks that have, I don't like to have been challenged by tinnitus. It's very overwhelming. And it's like many things that we deal with that other people don't see, can't hear, anything like that. And I always said, if it was music that I liked, you know, Jimi Hendrix or Tom Petty, fine, but it's a whooshing, annoying. Oh, this is like, I'm in heaven right now. I'm just floating around and I cannot thank you and everyone enough. This is, hey, I'll do a testament anytime, anywhere. And I'm going to be doing this much more regularly. So thank you, and thank you.
And so I want to say something about that, Randall, because I started that ringing in my ears one night when I was in Croatia on a sailing trip with friends, and I stayed up. I kept getting up during the night because I have ideas like 3 a.m. So I get up and go and write them, then come back to bed. That I did this all night, like kept getting up, and I did the second night the same thing. And suddenly the ringing started. I have no idea. This is like more than 10 years ago. So I can sometimes stop it, you know, like this, like yes, with this little, this movement and stretch. It hasn't always stayed stopped. So yeah. But I don't work on it much at all, because it doesn't bother me, because what I do is I send love to it. And when I started doing that, it just disappeared. Now, I'm not saying, like, I think that we can disappear it, but I'll let you know more in a couple of weeks, because I'm working in it.
I want to thank you for bringing that up. I forgot. I didn't get a chance to thank you. It was some sessions ago when you reminded us about that. Now, when this first started, it's been going on about 1.5 years, and I believe an emotional event started it. But anyway, when it first started, I was calmer about it, and then I asked it what was going on, but it was very challenging to not get mad, because I did a lot of things to help it release it, and that wasn't happening for me. And I've had plenty of other issues that have been quite challenging, but this, you know, this I couldn't get away from. But anyway, so, I want
Randall,
to thank
Randall Flo. May I just interrupt you a second? May we come back to this at the end during the question period, because I'd really like to give you an opportunity, but right now we have a plan.
No, I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you, Linda. I really appreciated that reminder. Thanks so much.
But I do want to come back to it because it's important, but when we'll stay in the flow of what we're doing now. And this is one of the beauties of, we come on at the end and we'll stay with you as long as you want after we end this part. And the same thing on Tuesday, we stay until you do it, because it's really, this is not just you, I'm sure it's more. So this, what Eleanor is sharing, this, it, like having you come in, having you talk about this, Eleanor, this is just so, it's so wonderful to have you bring it from this science point of view. Would you, Eleanor, would you share with us one of the many like synchronistic things that you discovered that might be an answer for us if we stay, like we may be masked for months?
We may be masked for months, but I'll tell you, listen, there's another area that will help you quickly, is to go to the base of your skull, where the muscles connect to the base of your skull, and you do 6 o'clock is below and 12 o'clock is above. Those suboccipital, meaning the musculature, those fine muscles, and tendinous kind of muscles that connect from the skull bone to the muscles of the neck are deeply involved in the quality of the functioning of the vagus system. So when we go back here, and I played with this myself, Linda, a couple days ago, all of a sudden my left ear started going, wow, wow, wow. And it was like, whoosh, whoosh. And it was a vibration frequency that was like, it was so loud. I thought like, oh my God. But I'm like, bring it on, baby, because now I'm going to experiment on myself. And I went back here on the base of the skull and I just so lightly gave it that loving support of the circle and a quarter, and the touch was as light as a one.
Yep.
Was as light as a one.
And let's remind them, maybe you know, Sandy, we have a whole thing on this. We had a whole session on this. So it's worthwhile going back because it was absolutely fascinating. I think it was 3 months ago that it's in the classes, it'll be in the second hour. And it's really Randall Flo Randall. I love it. We're gonna Flo Randall. I have to combine your name. Come back to that for all of us. And we do need to revisit this in future sessions because it's so important. But could you share with them what you discovered with those masks?
Meaning when
that you can get the clear mask.
Oh, the shield. Yes. Oh, got it. Yes.
Because I'm going to get them.
So I interviewed at like the third week after shutdown, this amazing, wonderful guy that is from the wine country in Northern California. And it's on my blog about what happens with masks and the difference between face shield. And his company was in the wine country. He uses this polyvinyl kind of plastic that is optically perfect. It's like the difference between going and getting not good reading glasses at the drugstore and getting really good reading glasses. You know, some of them have like a warpy to it, and then really good glasses, it's so clear, optically perfect all the way around the plastic. That's the quality plastic that he makes. And he was making wine rooms, and he made museum quality shelving and built in for museums. So the quality of his polyvinyl plastic is like of the best quality that exists out there. Within 2 weeks of being shut down, him and his wife turned their company around and started making face shields.
So we'll put this up in the blog, how you get it, because you have to order 10 at a time. But
you don't have $15.
Yes, you do.
Oh, you do.
Found that out. Yes, the minimum of 10 order. Well, it's only reasonable. He's a wholesale place, and he's just, you know, they're only $15. But we'll show it to you. We'll bring it. Let's bring it at the very after the end of the third. We'll close at the end and bring it in because I want it. It's really a answer for teachers. I mean, as Eleanor said before, when we had this discussion in preparation, how is it going to be for
children
looking at teachers when they can see no expression, and how it is for the teacher that she can't see any? I mean, that's just one, you know, possibility, but it's huge. Anyway, there is, and it is really inexpensive, and you can, there's another place that Sandy found for $40, you can get them for only one at a time. So, but this looks really fantastic. We'll bring it back. Eleanor, yes. It's so important, this whole thing and all the discussion, and we have a lot of that in 3 months ago. We'll check which
and,
one.
And no, just keep in mind, it's interesting, but it is this outer portion. So yes, we work the old ancient sphincter ring muscles around, but where that really affects the vagus system, your heart rate and your happiness, is this part. And that's the part in which we read faces. Isn't that interesting? And then you'll find there's something that happens up here, because look, we read this, we read this, we read this. We read all of that that happens there. So I invite you to play with that and use that. And do keep in mind, I noticed for me when I bent the wrist after Linda brought it up, I felt a little kink in my throat, which I found interesting, in my trachea. So it was, first I kept feeling it in between my shoulder blades, and then I followed it in and went, no, it's my trachea gets kinked. So I'm now curious to find, every time. So I'm curious to find out what that's about.
Yeah, the support, the elbow really makes a difference. Yep, beautiful. And the thumb, connectors. We've got connectors. For those of you in the companion animal training, Robin's connector for the double-ended leash is like brilliant. And this thumb is our connector. Thank you, Eleanor. Thank you. Thank you. This is going to bring, you know, all of us, I know, just another beautiful way of connecting with our beings. So Sandy, if you can hold your questions on this, actually, because we've got some things I really need you to see before we go into our third session, third hour rather. Sandy, could we bring up the nine elements, please? I'm just going to do a quick overview for you. Now, for those of you who are new, this is a form of mind map. It's the Tony Bazan form. What's missing are the pictures, because little images go along normally. The colors are really important. I love the shapes. It's different if it's just a straight black line, isn't it? And that little curve back, that was a little intuitive idea I had, because we didn't want to extend those lines. They normally go straight out, and I just love it. This is like, I think it gives it a different shape. Now, these nine elements are what makes it possible to learn this work logically. So we look at these. These are the primary elements that we deal with. So the first, and you always read a mind map starting on the upper right and go around to the left. And what that does, the reason we use it instead of the logical linear form, it activates both hemispheres because of the color, the shape, and the circular motion. So the basic T-touch circle, 1 1/4 circles, that's our basic 1 1/4 link. And we've never said this before. Saskia, I mean, Donna, I'm trying to think, all of you who've been all these years working with this, we never said before these, actually these, really this 9 months, I've never said it so clearly, to see the 1 1/4 as a link to activating that cellular intelligence. I have been searching for this like since 1976. What does it mean? Every cell in the body knows its function in the body. Yes. So then the pressure, you know, 1 to 10. And for those of you who are new in here, stay on after and I will explain that to you, because it's a 1 to 10 pressure. And the 1, just so you get a little clue, is the lightest that contact it takes to move the eyelid in a 1 1/4 with the lightest possible. Don't pop your eyeball out. Now, you know what I mean? That's the lightest. That's the 1. And that's what Eleanor was talking about, that she was working back here. And we've got all kinds of more information about this, that really fascinating in the future. There's much more to that. Now, why do we have 1 to 10 pressure when actually, usually we go like 1 to max 4? As soon as you get 4 and beyond, you get into muscles. It's totally different. But why do we do this? Because, to give you a sense, if you go to a good masseur, male or female massage person, most people like to start at a 6 or a 7. That's what I've experienced over the years. And that's why it's worthwhile. And there are moments when we might have to do that. Moments. In all the years I've been doing this, I can remember 2 or 3 people ever I have used like at 8 to 10 on a few times. But so because we're talking at a different level of this, above even the fascia, the net even that is around the fascia. Yeah? So then we've got the temple, and that is 1 to 2 second circles, or 3. And we have a reason for each one of them. And then the pause is what I talked about, that mindful pause. And it's not that you go to sleep, right? It's a stay present. Completely empty your head, as I describe it, like a gourd. You're just totally present. And now I would say the difference to all of you who've been in this years and years, how I see it, and part of this is thanks to the feedback that I got in the Feldenkrais Summit from Cynthia Allen, when she and Eleanor and a third person was doing, they were doing a little talk about my cellular wisdom talk, which was at the end of each summit day, when Cynthia said, so you're not activating this cellular intelligence, your concept is, your purpose is really to recognize it. And that's different. Yes, we can support that activation of the communication between the cells when there's fear or pain. But the fact that with each circle and a quarter touch, instead of just, and it's really important to simply pay attention to the roundness and the tempo and the pressure, but recognize, wait a minute, this is a miracle. This is a miracle we're dealing with here. And when we recognize that, it's different. That's when we connect to the creative energies of the universe. And that's when these magic, when the pain disappears. Like, I never fail to be amazed that I can have intense pain from too hard working out in the pool for this, you know, fractured, subluxated humerus here, shoulder. And I can just disappear it. We all have seen this as we've been doing this work. Let's recognize it. So the connections, the body posture, the breath, the intention. And please, all of you who are interested in this work, you've got two intentions. Remember your perfection, meaning at the cellular level. And if you're dealing with a situation, like if I'm working with someone with stage 4 cancer, or some of the incredible, or a person who has had surgery and has such deep pain and cannot take any pain medication because the body doesn't allow it, I can't say that because they won't believe it. Or you won't believe it in yourself, but it's possible to say, remember your potential for ideal function at the cellular level. And now we know that that function is the wonder of that connection to the creative energies, the source energy of the universe. That's the secret behind T-Touch, except now you know what it is. And the next one, the feedback, that we honor how our bodies feel, that we feel how they feel. That's the thing. And that's just another level with our animals, with ourselves. We honor that. So now, that being said, let's pull up the next one. And I thank you, Lisa Light, who may have gone to bed because it's already really late in Europe.
The next one, which one, what would you like, Linda?
The one with the pictures of the animals. Because the one part that isn't on these 9 elements are all the animal names. And we have, Lisa took the beautiful mind map of just the names, and she put these pictures of it. So you see, if you could put your cursor to the top, I can't see, can you read that? I can't read the top ones. Sorry, this is small, but.
Where would you like me to start reading from, at the very top?
Upper right, yes, the top, yeah.
So T-Touch for you, animal names and parts of the hands.
Okay.
And then spirit of the horse and the whole connection.
Now, you've got the spirit of the horse we brought in thanks to Sandy's 37-year-old Ibis, who stayed with her all those years. Amazing. And keeps coming to her now and connecting us, you know, to forgiveness. That's the whole, it's amazing, that energy. So I wanted to have the horse in there because we didn't have this before. It's in the middle, as you see, this logo we have, and that's a hand on the flying horse. And for the humans, it's actually a spiral in the hand, holding that magic, it's really a spiral, circle and a quarter in the hand over the earth. So then we have all these different animal names. Now, don't be intimidated if you're new to this. The reason we have these animal names is because it brings us to right brain activity. Now, when I first started developing this work in the 80s, we had touches 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. You know, like 1 was the abalone, 2 was the clouded leopard, 3 was the lying leopard, and these different numbers. And when I got to 5, I thought, there's no way. I mean, this is so, you know, we can't remember those names. And then I was inspired by Tai Chi. And I was leading a trip to Australia, and Marnie Reeder was leading us one morning, the whole group out of our tents in the field in Australia, in these beautiful movements of Tai Chi and the horse and the cloud. And I thought, we need that for the animal names. And so as I didn't work with an abalone, but I know them well because I lived, you know, on the coast of California. Most of these animals were animals that I either worked on directly, is I can't think who might not have, or came into my life for some reason. But what we know now is when we name, it just means the part of the hand that we are using that tells us, oh yeah, did I use some, I use the back of my fingernails like this. That's the baby chimp. That's from a chimp that I worked on. And the baby orang, a little orang, 2 months old that I worked on in the San Diego Zoo, who had an inadequate sucking reflex and he was dying. And all these stories have a story. Now, I'm sorry, I'm going really fast, actually. I want us to just like take a breath, let's do a little heart hug and give thanks to all these animals in our lives. Why is that important today, in this June 2020? Because in the United States and in in Europe that I know of, there is a new thing called nature deficit syndrome. Our doctor brought it up because we go to these classes with our plant-based doctor. And I'd never heard this before, but I'm hearing from people, you know, friends whose kids don't grow up on a farm, but they live in the city, and then they take them camping with great enthusiasm, and the kids don't want to get dirty. You don't want to be out in nature. It's like icky. And now we know this is why we had this pandemic, to bring us back to what's important, taking care of this Mother Earth and all her creatures. So when you're playing around with these, learning these names, you're bringing the spirit of the animals right back into us, right back with us. And so it's like the clouded leopard and the lying leopard and the raccoon, the very tips, and the bear is when it's straight down with the nails. And we'll go into this a little bit on, I'll do it in a fun way on next Tuesday. And please remind me of this, Shannon. So we just play, what touches have you found to be useful? You know, and the baby chimp, the baby orang, the chimp is between the first and second joints. And then the orangutan is, the adult is like a 90 degree angle, like this. And where do you use that? Or how do you get to your neck with this? And where is that useful? Think about bringing those animals in with us when we do it. So it all has a purpose. And I just wanted you to get this sense of this. and they all have an amazing story. And reach out to these animals and give thanks that they're on the earth, the hummingbird and the banana slug. That banana slug, some of you will get a, maybe like, icky. It's when you curve your hand and it's the banana slug is a soft part from where the little finger attaches to the top of the hand. That, now look, if I curve it, that is nice and soft. But if I straighten the hand, try it, just try it, straighten your hand. And now try to make a circle and a quarter. And it's like, ooh, nice, it's hard, but I soften it. It's nice, 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 squishy little yellow, nice yellow banana slug. And I needed a name for that curved little finger. What does that remind you of? Hummingbird. And that's really useful for a really nice, tiny, kind of fun, different way to connect with yourself. The size of this interesting little finger. So it's a journey like this. So when you're new to it, think, how am I going to remember all those names? Play with it, you know, honor it, make it fun. And you don't have to know the names. Just use your hand. Wait a minute. What is comfortable? Why do we have all these names? It's somebody saying, I can't do this. Well, can you do that? And it always comes from like stiffness or pain or something or difficulty in movement. And so we just come up with a different way of doing it, just like yesterday in the rap talk. Why do we have so many raps? Because somebody said, let's see, I have this, well, what about that? Explore. So any comments or questions about this part? And for those, I haven't said this for those of you who are new, and that is, there's no such thing as a dumb question. No such. Every question is honored. If we don't know the answer, we will tell you, and we'll start thinking, let's see, what could that be? So, comments about how this is for you, the nine elements, or questions, and I'll probably take the question, and we'll write it down, and we'll hold it, depending upon if it's a simple answer that we can give it quickly. Any questions? Like, I wish I could hand you the most delicious food you can possibly imagine. You can imagine that. For any question or comment. Doesn't have to be a question. You can pop your hand up.
Actually, Amy made a good comment. I'll pull Amy up and see. There, I'm asking to unmute you so you can unmute yourself. About the banana slug. Let's see if I can find you. Do you see it that I?
Yeah, I. Can you find it? Do you hear me?
I do.
Yes.
I found that the banana slug fits perfectly in my occiput. Thank you for that, Eleanor. Yeah. It just fits right in, and it fits in the depth of it too. It's not just peripherally. It's just goes. It just hugs the curvature.
Nice. Ah, beautiful.
And we want to be careful that we. I'm glad that works for you. I'm more inclined to the pads of the fingers. Doing that because sometimes people can press a little too hard with this whole edge and actually cut off flow. And you can, if you do it, you cut off flow, you'll feel it immediately. And if you don't, that's good. Just want to put that out there.
I actually like a 0.5 of a touch.
Yeah, there you
Beautiful.
Go.
But it's a little curved, actually. It's not quite perpendicular. It's a little... So I can ground my thumb on the lower part of my neck.
Yeah.
And then my hand, the banana slug tilts just a little bit, like it's lying on its side. Oh, it's a diagonal side a little bit.
Right.
It just works for me. It's right in there.
Good.
And for some people, if you have fingers that are a little bit, you know, not quite as flexible as you'd like, using the pads will be a challenge because you can't feel as well. And that's one of the reasons that I never thought about using it there. It's really nice. Thank you. other comments, questions? Sally, do you have your hand up or are you?
I was asking a question about the banana slug, which is that it's not thumb grounded. Is that the only one that's not thumb grounded?
I wouldn't ground it, Amy, without, thank you for, you read my mind. I think grounding the thumb, you know what, do what works for you, try it both ways. It wouldn't be my choice to ground the thumb, but actually when I, one of the reasons I'm actually connecting with my thumb and fingers there, and then using, rotating with that, this fleshy part of the hand, and right, that but makes it, my arm less tired.
I'm kind of connecting with my banana thumb slug of my thumb to get the banana the slug of my end of my fifth finger.
Perfect. Right, but I wasn't talking about it in that spot. I actually wrote the question when you did the little showing on the hand, so it's like straight up in the air. So the thumb is not grounding, and I think that's the only one that's not grounded, right? I mean, in this spot, you're in a different position where, you know, you can kind of get your thumb on the back of your neck. So, but, you know, just if you're doing it in any other place in the body, you're kind of
yes,
putting the thumb up in the air in order to get the right pressure maybe on the slug.
Right. And this is Malia Culp, right? I couldn't yes. see who was talking. Right. Thanks, Maria. Yes, it is. That's what I would say. Yes. And because it's because you're just making a contact and then moving the tissue, it's no pressure. There's no weight of your own hand. You support the weight of your own hand. Because think, if you put the weight of your hand, you'd squish the slug, right?
Right.
You don't want to do that. It's the lightest movement, and you can use a 0.5 there with it. And Eleanor, that's so important because it's really easy to go too hard there. So when you look at that lesson 3 months ago, man, it was so interesting, that back of the
neck. And the idea of back there is that, let's say you were a manual therapist and the person was lying down and the person had vagal tone issues, you had an idea of it, you can actually very gently at the level of a one palpate the quality of the tissue on the back right side and the back left side of those suboccipital muscles, and just palpating it, and you'll find they're tougher on one side, and all you need to do is glide the skin. That's all we're doing, is gliding the skin over that tissue. We're not working the musculature. And in the gliding of the skin over the tissue, that tougher side becomes equally soft. And then you can do a before and after, asking questions about what they notice, what they sense, how they hear, how they see, you know, their heart rate, all of that. It's amazingly different. So we're not working muscle, even though we're touching the suboccipital muscles, we're gliding the skin.
That's it's like what we're a doing. Signal, right? It's like it's signaling, actually.
Yeah.
Think of it like a signal.
Keep going.
So we'll take one other question, and then Sandy, let's take two more comments. What do you think, Sandy? And then we'll close this.
Yeah, because we portion. Actually technically have a third hour, even though it's now 1:11 p.m.
No, we definitely have a third hour.
So we're.
May I continue on that, the slug and the thumb? I was just interested in the details of the thumb grounding, because I know that's been an important piece, and when it is and isn't. And I'm realizing, I just realized with this wonderful piece that I can do this on my grandmother. I'm going to be going to be with my grandmother next month, and I'm excited to assist her.
So let's hold this, Malia, till the questions at the end. So that's perfect. A specific, we can deal with that. And what I encourage you to do is feel what's comfortable for you. Just feel what is comfortable with the thumb, without the thumb, and really, really feel that. So Thank you, Sandy. If you close this.
So we're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we will come back for our third segment. And so it is 12 after, so let's come back at 20 after the hour, okay? So I'll shorten it a little bit.
Great. Thank you.